Vayar, it says Vayar Om Kibosh Shmosh and Lares Minahar. So there's a famous Chazal there that the Chazal say. Interesting, it's Rashi quotes. Rashi is like this. He says, it's Lamed Beis, the beginning of Aleph. See, the beginning of the Pashkut should have been Le'itin Amoshe, but the Goyim somehow or other decided that the next Pashkut is where it begins. It's supposed to be. It should have made sense to start from Le'itin Amoshe, Chalos L'Dabar Yitav Harsin, Ashne Luchas Seidus. Then they made Lamed Beis the next Pashkut. But anyways, the it's the second pasuk in the area. Vayarom kivoshesh Moshe laredes minahar. See, so it says that what happened. It says kikshola Moshe lahar amalahem lesofar boim yom ani ba. Besof vav shas. So I'll come back in 40 days on the first half of the day before chatzos. In other words, kisvurim heim shosa yom shalom and aminyinu. Famous mistake. So they thought that what? That the day that he went up also counted. Right? Vu amar shleimim. Aboim yom. Aboim yom v'leila imo. Shleimim. Vu amar shleimim aboim yom v'leila imo. Right. So it means a day and a night. So in other words, so the first day doesn't count. First day doesn't count. So therefore you start counting the next day. So obviously it makes a difference in one day. All right? The Yom Aliyaso Ein Lelo Imo. Alright? Shere B'Zayim B'Sivan Olo. Nimtza Yom Arboim B'Shivaso B'Tamas. So come to the 40th day, really is on Shivaso B'Tamas. B'Yudvav Bo Sutton. On the day before the Sutton came, V'Ir V'Sa Olam. And he stirred up the world. V'Hera D'Mus Choshech V'Fela. And he showed a darkness and both words of darkness. Revuvia. Fusion. Loma, vade meis Moshe. To say definitely Moshe died. Lekach bar revuvia lolo. That's why this revuvia occurred. Omar lahem meis Moshe shekvar bo shesho. Omar lahem meis Moshe shekvar bo shesho slo bo. So the sultan told them that the Moshe died already. That because 6 hours came and didn't come. Alright, that's what Rashi says. It's not a different case in Rashi. Another kind of Rashi. Let me see. So of course the question on Rashi, there's two questions on Rashi. First of all, the question is if the mistake was a mistake between, because they thought it was they thought the day that he went up counted, right? So what did you have to have the Sutton for? Whatever the mistake was, that they thought they made a miscalculation, right? So in other words, so the miscalculation stands on its own. They thought the day that he went up counts and doesn't count. So they should have, so that's it. So that was a mistake. What was this, what do you have the Sutton come along for? Moreover, it says, in the next pasuk, it says that Aaron, Vayara, it says, Vayoma Aleim Aaron, Parku Nizme Azov Asher Bozein Ashechem. So why did Aaron say this? Because Aaron really wanted to slow down the process. Retard the process. So therefore, what did he do? So he told him, he says, okay, it's a good idea, but these avodas are expensive, cost money, you gotta start contributing. So he figured that he'd catch him in an emotional conflict. See? So, that's the conflict will slow them down. One, he wanted to pin one emotion, pit one emotion against another. So, so why didn't Aaron simply tell him, look, you made a mistake. Very simple mistake. You think that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to count the day that he went up. I'm sure Aaron knew that. He could figure it out himself, or he knew it. That Abayim Yom is Yom V'Leil Yomo. So he should have told him, hold off, wait another day, right?
Well, don't we already see they already killed? Didn't the Amorim?
but that's the question, right? And just straight logical questions. So I think the answer is like this. You see, the answer is because people don't really understand what's going on here. And Chazal speak in a very brief and metaphorical manner. But really what it means is like this. You see, when Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know exactly what, I can't isolate in particular the phenomena, but the general phenomena, I can tell you. In other words, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to Har Sinai, and he's going to be there for 40 days, without a chilush siyah, communicating with God, this in their mind, this aroused a certain state in their mind. So I can't define it. I'm sorry, I can't get down any closer. But I'll tell you, like what we can't say over here. So what happened was like this: that you see, what it means like this. The dmus choshech v'afela means like this. Means simply that all of a sudden on the day before. What happened was there was an atmospheric phenomena. You know, clouds, thunder, darkness. It happened that way. That's the way it was.
On the mountain, on Har Sinai.
Right where they were. See, and what happened was that they were really especially the Erev Rav. And you'll see the Erev Rav were the ones that were really the main ones that were involved. So they were superstitious, and they thought that because of that occurred, they thought, "What is this happening now? Well, I mean, look at this unusual phenomena. I mean, the black clouds and dark and this type of thing is a bad omen. They were very subject to this type of a thing. So when they saw that happen." They immediately thought that Moshe failed in his mission. What he wanted to do, what he wanted to accomplish, he failed. For some reason, he wasn't able to do it. See, so they took it in a mysterious way. And once they became frightened, you see, once they believed like it was a bad omen. See, so once they believed that already. Then the next thing they did was they made the calculation and they said, you see, he's not coming. But the main thing that really affected them was the atmospheric conditions. See, now why did that occur really? Truth of the matter is, it occurred. I mean, that's it. You can't ask why it occurred. I mean, it's an absurd question, why it occurred. That's what it was. The Sutton, what Rashi means by Bas Sutton, the Sutton always, like the Rambam explains in the Mora, the Sutton always means the emotions of a person. But it's the emotions of the person, the Yetzer Hara, the Rambam always, that's the definition of Sutton. There's no such thing as a Sutton as an extraneous force, I mean. Okay. So what it means over here is, that that's why Rashi the Sutton spoke to them. That's what it means. It means their own emotions. See? But it means, it uses the term Sutton in Rashi, it uses the term Sutton both ways, meaning referring to the phenomena and to the way they looked at the phenomena. But it means really the way they viewed it. The way they viewed it. See? So that's why once the emotion got them, that this was a terrible thing. You see, he must have failed. Because they had the feeling, they had the conviction that since Moshe is going up to Har Sinai, he's communicating with God, everything has to be fine, especially weather conditions. It's a very big thing with people who you see in primitive people, weather conditions are a very important thing. Even today, people, how's the weather today? Oh, nice day. See, it's a very, very important thing. I mean, most people, it's the most important thing in their mind. So you see, it has a strong psychological effect. So what happened was when they saw those bad conditions, they became psychologically affected by it. Fearful. Why should here Moshe Rabbeinu is communicating with God and look what's happening over here. This is bad. This is a very bad sign. Something went wrong. Then they made the calculation. They said, yes, 40 days it's 40 days already. See? Now, the reason why the calculation of the 40 days is not an inherent mistake that they just misunderstood. You understand yourself, they could have figured out themselves. The other possibilities is equally as viable. So why did they assume the first one? The reason why they assumed the first one was because they were already under the influence of those emotions already. See, once they were under the influence of those emotions, then they were convinced that this is what that Eddie failed, and something terrible has occurred over here, because they became fearful emotionally, and then they said, you see, we can corroborate it by the fact that it didn't come in 40 days. Now, if Aaron would have told them at that point that you're making a mistake in how to count the 40 days, it wouldn't have helped at all. Wouldn't have done anything. It was too late. As a matter of fact, you see in the next Rashi, it says, Rashi is Asher Yelchu Lefoneinu. All the Rashi in this pasuk, beautiful Rashi, just spells out step by step what happened. Asher Yelchu Lefoneinu. So Rashi says, Elohos Har Be'Evil Lohem. They desired many gods. Why did they desire many gods? Because, you see, once a person is on the emotional level, there's different emotions. And the emotions look at everything in a different way. Looks at lightning in one way. That's why you see the primitive tribes. They always have these different division of gods. For every emotion, there's another...
Social security fact. One goes bad.
Right. That's also true. But especially, of course, in the higher form, there's a higher form of Elohos Harbe, and that's referred to by Chazal as Shtei Rishuyos. That's Shtei Rishuyos. Shtei Rishuyos is really a higher form of the Elohos Harbe. Elohos Harbe is really a more primitive stage, where every emotion warrants it. So that's the duality is because of the fact that. That I explain one thing, because the fact that the way it affects a person emotionally, either everything's being having good or bad. So you, that's why
good and bad.
Good and bad, Shteir Shuyos, yeah. And that's why, like, you have the Goyim belief in the devil.
Or the
devil. So it's a different force. So Elohos Har Be'Evilam means they were reduced already to the level where they. Elohos Harbe means they reduced already to the total primitive level where they wanted the each different emotion. Then you take a look at the next point in Rashi. It says, Kizem Moshe Ish says, Kimin Demus Moshe Hero Lehem Asot Nishinos Noso Ba'avir Kiya Shemaya. Right? They saw the Demus of Moshe as if it was in the Avir Kiya Shemaya, like they're carrying Moshe off in a coffin. So what does it mean? So it means that this happens many times. I mean, you see, even today you have a lot of these things, different sightings of cloud formations. They have it's something which a person can project onto the scene very readily.
I mean, they see an ambiguous cloud.
Right. That's right. They project onto it. There it is. See, that's already a further stage in the. The further stage in the progress of this whole disintegration. Now, then it's like this. It says, "Asher halonu me'eretz Mitzrayim." Rashi says, "Vayamora lano haderech asher nalaba ata tzrichananu le'elohos asher yelchu lefaneinu." What is Rashi saying over there? Define that one. What is Rashi saying over there? Nice Rashi. Vayamora lano haderech. Fine, of course. So, what else did he do? He doesn't sound like he's adding anything really. There's nothing to add to the pasuk. Asher halonu kizayish Moshe asher halonu Mitzrayim le'edanu. Well, of course. Well, your leader is gone. Now he can't lead you anymore. So,
what are
they
use for a god
request? You mean? That's true. You're right about that. You're right. How does Rashi really explain the situation? Rashi over here, what Rashi does over here actually is he gives you the motivation, one of the big motivations that prompted them. That was the insecurity. See, that's what he says. He says, Voyamora lano aderech, this one that showed us the way, Asher na'alaba, ata now, tzrichanon alohos asher yelchol lefaneinu. See, as long as they had Moshe, so then they felt a certain sense of security there. See, but once he was gone, now they reverted back. Avi's right. They needed gods already. Because really, like Moshe sort of held them off. Held them off. Even though I would say that it didn't satisfy them completely, but he held them off. He was a live person. He held them off. But now, when he's gone, there was a total regression back to the primitive gods.
You mean he couldn't fulfill the post anymore?
No. So actually, I mean, you see that Moshe, there's something special about him. There are reasons for these things, these phenomena. Moshe apparently was able to project a certain image that made him very unusual, remarkable. You can't get anybody else to fill that image. And the only step you can do from there is go to something completely in fantasy. See, that was the next step. That was it. That's the way the emotion. That's the way the emotion works. Right. I mean, that's why. Right. That's right. Malamakam.
Just him?
They never denied God, because you see that they said, when they said Ela Lecha Yisrael, so the Ibn Ezra says, didn't mean that they didn't mean that this is really a God. I mean, it's a calf. How can they mean it's a God? So this represents the idea of God. Represents God. It's a representation. Can't deny, they can't, even the most primitive of the Avodah Zarah don't really deny God. You should know that. The Rambam was the one that said it, and I just read a book recently on comparative religion, and this professor, in his introduction, he says that precisely this. I couldn't believe it. He says that most people don't realize it's always been assumed that the primitive people that they really believe in the physical objects, and that's it. He says this is really a wrong way of looking at it. He says it's a backward way of looking at it. He says, actually, when you investigate, you find that he says precisely like the Rambam. He says the priests really have a deeper understanding of it, and they look at the image as a physical object, as just a reflection of a higher being. And many of them, he says, recognize one God behind the whole thing. But he says, but the lower people, the Hamon, he says, they don't. There is a difference there. Mammon, that's right. They don't. So the Rambam says it in the Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. The Rambam says it. That the Avodah Zarah really, as a matter of fact, he quotes a pasuk, Milo Yerocha Melech Hagayim, Ki Lecha Yasa. But of course, it's still Avodah Zarah. It doesn't make it any easier. But the Rambam explains it in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. That's the way it is. The Rambam knew that. It's an amazing thing, just like a recent discovery. The Rambam knew it, but it's they're not completely stupid. I mean, of course there are always those among the masses that are on that level already. Once it's set up already, then they stop believing. But they're not completely idiotic, these people. They have minds. I mean, and it's like a representation to them. It's a representation. Representation. See, that's the thing. They must, in other words, that's what Yadis ripped away. That attachment to that representation. That's the bad thing. Once you have that attachment, then the man is really in the world of the physical. And he can never be removed from the physical. It's the attachment that's bad. Even if he's Moda Kodesh Baruch Hu. But he has the representation, that's a real Avodah Zarah. Luckily, as far as we're concerned, it's absolutely Avodah Zarah. It doesn't make it any easier, the fact that he has the idea. It doesn't matter. So anyways, So that's what Rashi says. That's basically the pasuk. Interesting, Rashi in this pasuk sums up the whole thing. He explains what caused them to get under the influence, emotion, the atmospheric conditions, then the miscalculation. That answers the questions, because we asked the question, why can't nobody could tell them after that? It'd be impossible. I would not be able to tell them, and that's why Rashi needs both. Rashi doesn't just say the miscalculation. Well, it's a Gemara. They don't just say the miscalculation, because it was the miscalculation alone. So why do you have to have that whole thing with this boss Sutton Veir Vesolam and all the Choshech, the Moschosh Vafela? See, the Moschosh Vafela. But the mistake was that they weren't able to tolerate those atmospheric conditions. The moment they saw that, they started to become superstitious. Something's bad. Something bad is happening. Black clouds are forming in the mountain. It's getting dark. It's Choshech Vafela. This can't, something went wrong. That's it. They got to their emotions. That's what got to their emotions. Interesting. That was the thing I did. I think so. See, that I can't really zero in on. I'm sure I had to do it.
That could be viewed as a mystical.
So they knew he was up there for days not eating, not drinking. So they thought that it's something went. So you see that there's something went wrong. That was the emotion. They couldn't simply say that this is atmospheric conditions. Since the time of Bria Olam, God set up the world that it works a certain way, and you could have a black glass could form at a certain time. They couldn't do that. They had a feel that has to be tied to God, and therefore if this occurs, it means that it's something bad.
That's the primitive emotion.
That was the primitive emotion that started it.
If you had a funeral,
you have a test
of
Kwanzaa?
Right now,
I don't know.
I'm not seeing
it. That's what I mean, Ruvi. What is it, Ruvi? You know what Ruvi is. So Rashi explains what it is. What does Ruvi mean? What it means, I mean, you know what it means. Rashi explains, has no meaning, Ruvi is Olam. What do you do? So Rashi explains, what it means is that he had the Choshech and the Afela. Remember the story I told you about? That this is...
Which one?
There's giving a shir musa every week, and every week he'd give a shir. He should work on a certain emotion. And so he had every week he had like benon lachaver on. Therefore, you should imagine like your chaver is like a tzir kapav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine that God created him. I mean, how would you treat him? You know, he'd go through it. Every emotion, he'd go through this way. So finally came one week it came to Tfilo. So he says, you want to really be mispal, imagine somebody in the sky when you mispal. He said, imagine somebody in the sky, then you really be mispal. It's a maestroya, it's a true story. So he didn't realize, the person was giving the class, he meant well, he just followed through naturally. Logically he was right. He logically was following his plan. But the thing, what happened was that then other people heard about it, so the other rishis and they called him up and the whole thing. He retracted, but he got caught up. So he got caught up. The thing is that this is a natural thing. The person that wants the security, that's what they're looking for. It's a natural emotional thing. The person that wants security, that's what they're looking for. When they make these images and it gives them a certain satisfaction. I mean, to relate to God in an abstract way like the Yadis demands is a very difficult thing. People think it's double pressure. It's not a double pressure. It's a very difficult thing. Very difficult thing. Whereas a lot of people don't realize it. I mean, you just don't know what it is. That's why you have the Torah tells you to hold the Maisa Ego. The person should study the Maisa Ego and should learn something from it. But the people don't realize it. They think, just put it out of your mind. I don't have any primitive idolatry, and the other people do. I mean, it's not as simple as that. You have to understand this. There's a lot more to it. It's a deep psychological phenomenon. It wasn't the double pasha. People look at the incident of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah and Klal Yisrael. It's a primitive type of thing. We'd never have any problem with that stuff. And this, not so simple. It's a limud. It's a deep thing. It's a deep thing. It has very much to do with person with human psychology. It's a hard thing. It wasn't an easy thing. So anyway, world all have it, and we don't. You see that it's not such a double pasha. I mean, goyim today, basically most goyim, they really have it. I mean, they have an actual avodah zarah. I mean, because they believe that Yeshu is to them is God, and they actually have a cross of him on there. I mean, there you see that the one that they worship. I mean, what could be more avodah zarah? I mean, it's so simple and obvious. It's like ridiculous. The world doesn't even undersee it. I mean, they maintain that he's God, right? And therefore, they have a cross with him on it, an image of him. I mean, what is different between that and between any other? It's even worse because here they have. They have a physical representation of a person, the object that they worship. Whereas the other of the avodah zarah, they made these things, but these things weren't God. You know what I mean? They made something to remind them of God, a different animal or something. But they didn't think the animal was God. But the animal had strength, so they took this animal and made him. But what they have today is the most primitive. But people don't see. You see, that's a very powerful, powerful emotion. I mean, with the Talmud Chacham, that es l'rabos tamid chachamim. That's why Rabbi Akiva didn't want to darshan at es, because he thought that it's a avodah zarah already. Es l'rabos tamid chachamim. But then the other, I think it was a Rishmael, I said, no, I mean, Rabbi Akiva didn't want to darshan it. And he wouldn't want to darshan it for anything. Rishmael said, no, es l'rabos tamid chachamim. Why? Because Tamir HaChamim is okay, because what the person recognizes is that was the Machlagis in Rabbi Kivir Mishmoah. That if it becomes the person of the Talmud Chachma himself, then it's Vodazor. But if it's the Chachma, so that's not him. I mean, it's the Chachma. He's just the vehicle of he's just the vehicle of the Chachma. But he as a person, it's not the person. That's not a Vodazor. That's why Rabbi Kivir stopped short. He said, no, it's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. Dangerous phenomena. Set up a system which is going to lead to a lot of zar. But all personally, let me just put it this way. I mean, I don't want to get into particulars, but I just want to say this: that if a person ascribes their emotions, in other words, their basic emotions of insecurity, if they take those emotions and the emotions are comforted by a person. And not by God, that's better. That's what it is. But it's not the person. Not the person. It's the person that's what it is. So anyway, so... Alayam Aaron. So what I'm going to say, Parkun nismei azov asher bozne neshechem b'nechem v'nasechem v'avio eloi. So what did he do? Amar Aaron b'libo. Hanoshim v'ayolodim chosim b'tach shiteyem. Hein. Shema yisakei v'dover u'besoch kach yav ha-moshe. V'hein lo amtinu parkun me'al atzma. So Parkam El Atzma, right? So what happened over there? What happened really? See, Aaron was very smart. Aaron tried to place them into a conflict, an emotional conflict between their stinginess and between their desire for a god, and he figured, hold them off another day, hold them off, right? So the question you have to ask is, I mean, it's good tactic, Aaron's tactic, very good tactic. It's a good universal tactic to apply. If somebody's going to do something that's wrong, so try to catch him with another emotion in the opposite direction. Get him in limbo, you know. Then you hold him off that way. It's a good idea. But what would have... You see, why did he want to prevent it? I mean, you might say, look, they were going to do it anyway, so that's it. They lost the level. Anyways, I mean, it's Machshava Ra, Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzraf L'Maaseh. I think Avodah Zarah. Doesn't say Avodah Zarah is one of the cases?
Avodah Zarah is?
Avodah Zarah, yes, absolutely, sure. And you can understand why. You see why. Machshava Ra is, if the Machshava is Avodah Zarah, that's, forget it. That's
a different thing.
He's already, the person already, he did it already. That's it.
What more should we do?
What?
What more is it to do?
Right, that's right. Now, what's the answer? Now, the answer, simple answer.
When you see the Avodah Zarah, definitely that's going to arouse, it's going to strengthen
the emotion. That's right. The answer is Machshava Rav, Avodah Zarah, Zakash Bracham Tzrach Lamais, it's true, but it's still not the same as the actuality of the Avodah Zarah, really. Yeah, that's right. It feeds on itself. The whole process feeds on itself.
They say that about Moshe also.
Yeah, what?
They ask that point?
So it says. So it says, you see, the pasuk says, "Vayisparku kolam." Pasuk says, "Vayisparku kolam." That's his pile. Vayisparku. His pile means reflexive. It's like they slipped. They just slipped right out. That's it. There was no problem there. Vayisparku kolam. You see, it's reflexive on themselves. It means that they made themselves. Rashi explains why he supports the Lashon. Lashon brings Masach, another one's name, Nimtzu Hei Mefurokim Min Yizmeihem. So they rendered themselves without the jewelry. That's it. It was an automatic process. There was no problem at all. Es Nizmei Azov Asher Bozneihem Vayaviu Al Aaron. All right. Vayaviu Al Aaron. Next pasuk.
Aaron didn't realize
the extent of the conflict. Nobody can. I mean, as a matter of fact, even the greatest psychologist can only identify different trends in the psyche, but he can never know the quantitative factor. That's something he can't know. And Aaron simply didn't know the quantitative factor. Then he saw they slipped out of all their jewelry, So he's in trouble. Vayikach miyadam, vayotzer oso bacheret, vayaseu ego masecho, vayomru eile Elohecha Yisrael asher halucha meretz Mitzrayim.
This was on
the Yadam. He took it from the hands. Vayotzer oso bacheret. Actually, the pasuk says vayotzer oso bacheret. Vayaseu egel masecha. The implication is clear from the pasuk that Aaron did it. Aaron did it. Vayotzer oso bacheret. So Rashi says two pshatim in bacheret. One pshat is he put it into a cloth. Vayotzar also bacheret. It means he tied it into a mitpachas. Okay. The second pshat is vayotzar from lashon tzura. That's the way I think the Ibn Ezra is the way. Vayotzar lashon tzura means he formed it. Vayotzar also he formed it bacheret is with a certain instrument. Vayasehu egel masecha. Now Rashi is like this. This Rashi I don't fully understand. One part I understand, one part I don't. First part, so he says, what does it mean, ego masecha? He says, kivon sheshlicho la'or bikur bo'u mechashre erev rav she'olu imam imitzrayim v'asu b'kshofa. Alright? The first Rashi I understand. First part of Rashi means that they had people, in other words, that they the people that went out of Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav, they took it and they made it with magic. What it means is that they, when they make their gods, they can't just make it with an ordinary process, because that would simply be, I mean, just
mundane.
Yeah, it would take away the whole motion. So therefore, they have certain things that they do that people don't understand. They're like slightly different magic tricks. I mean, Egyptians had a lot of magic, and the magic was very advanced. Even the magicians today, even Moda, the magic had in Egypt, a lot of things, certain things they will do. They can't even know today how they did it.
Look, they just figured out.
What?
They just figured out zombies.
Magic tricks that they knew how to do a lot of things that. I mean, if you saw magic, you'd be astounded. I mean, they even took scientists and they had magicians perform in front of them. The scientists were really fooled by it. It's a different type of thing. It's a different type of thing because a scientist is used to cause and effect in nature, so he's used to looking cause and effect in a certain way. You know, that's the way nature presents cause and effect in a certain way. A magician is in magic. What you do is you switch the whole relationship between cause and effect. So that the person is diverted, and he sees one. He looks like that's the cause, and really something else is the cause. That's really the art of magic. But these people worked it out. They worked on it. They were brilliant people. I mean, they worked on this, and they worked a lot of they worked out a lot of these tricks. I mean, today I remember one time saw they had something a thing on television where they showed this. It's an unbelievable story. They showed this. This guy that was in fairly recently, he was in it was where are those Mormons in the West over there? Utah, right? So this guy came into the town, young guy came into the town, and he started to do things, started to make things move, you know, like unbelievable stuff, and he had the whole following, he developed a whole following of people. And they couldn't, they really, I mean, they had guys come down watching him. It was amazing how he was able to do these things. And he had like things like lifting off the table and, you know. So they called down, there's one guy that's a crackerjack magician. And his job is, that's his thing. He debunks all the magicians. That's his area. Yeah, he's like brilliant. And he came down. They showed us. They had it all filmed. Yeah, go. They showed him sit down. And he said to the guy, "said Yes, go ahead. Let me see you do this." So he said, "Just a second." He like changed the conditions. Says, "Do it now." Guy can do it. You know. And he showed her. The guy got that picture of the guy. Guy getting trapped in the guy. See, first the guy didn't realize. The guy thought it was another person that's just coming there. You know, another sucker. So he acted the regular way. The guy started. He made little changes. And And then the guy explained some of the things that he did, but he said he would not explain some of the other ones. He said, because he really had, he said the guy was really pretty advanced in the area. You know, and he didn't want to give away the tricks because a lot of magicians' livelihood depends on it. So he said certain things he can't explain. But the, yeah, right. But a few of them he showed, a few of them he explained. He showed how it worked. It was really amazing. I mean, you would never believe that
it worked.
Control breathing. Yeah.
Amazing thing. That guy, same story.
Then he let. I think it was a guy. He went out of prison. He went to Utah. He started a whole following of people and the whole thing. And they had this guy. But there were other things he did also.
His nose and he like,
certain way, yeah. But it was like he even was able to get around barriers. There. There were certain. It was the guy that caught him knew exactly how it works. Yeah, it's very, very advanced. I mean, you'd be surprised what a person can do. It's surprising what a person can do. You have to realize these people really put them. I mean, in terms of intelligence, they have the same intelligence that we have, and they put their minds to these things. They really were able to do things that that were astounding. Just like today, magicians are doing.
So
you got to take a rabbit out of a hat. I mean, it looks like really an unbelievable thing. I mean, a scientist would be fooled. But they use their minds and their intelligence to really develop these things. That was the whole thing. So when they used to make a god, they wouldn't make it in a regular way because it would look too mundane, you know, wouldn't have any appeal. So that's what Rashi says, that the heir of Rav came and they made it in the usual way, they had a way of doing it, and therefore the people were moved by it.
Who made it? Actually made it? Was the heir of it? Wasn't
right? Masecha doesn't mean that he... That it became.
Seems to go both ways, but Yikach appears to be Aaron and Moshe.
Right.
I know.
But Rashi says no. Rashi Chazal say no. I mean, I think Rashi.
Well, we have to understand.
Yeah,
but he would. Because if he wanted,
it was under his direction.
Okay. There was no way he could get close enough to screw it.
We made it. It was under his direction. And the next part of Rashi, I don't understand. I don't understand the whole story with the toss and the whole thing. I don't know what these things represent. I don't know what it means. Okay. Lo ne'mar el Eloheinu. Doesn't say this is our God. Mikan she'erav rav she'olu mimitzrayim heim she'nikol al Aaron v'heim she'asu'u v'yachakach hitu es Yisroel acharav. You see?
They didn't really identify with
Israel.
They were Jews or not? What do you call it? They're Mekabel Torah. I mean, they were Gerim. Now, what it means to say is that the heir of Rav, they were more primitive because they were the real Egyptians. See, so they had a more primitive nature, and the Jews were. There's two levels of primitivism. There's different. You should know that there's different. The important thing about this Chazal is that what they're trying to explain is that there are different degrees of being subject to this type of phenomena. Different degrees. And the highest degree that is furthest removed, of course, is the greatest Chacham, I mean Moshe Rabbeinu. But insofar as you're not on that level, there are variations of degrees that a person is subject to this type of a thing. Variations of degrees. As the person gets higher and higher, he gets more and more removed from the taints of Avodah Zarah. The Cheta Ego. Cheta Ego, that's what Gemara says, Cheta Ego is always there. Always there. Now, so what he's saying is like this. What he's saying is that the Erev Rav were really the closest to this, to the primitive. And that's why they were the ones that initiated the process. But the Jews were still subject to the process. There's a difference between being subject to the process and being an initiator. Variation of degree. The Jews wouldn't have initiated the process. But once it was initiated already, they were subject to falling for it.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. Okay, now it's like this. Next pasuk is A. Vaya. You gotta tell him, you gotta tell him, Kavav. Rashi says that Aaron saw Shehoya Boruachayim, that it was alive. Shenema, Besavne Shor Ochalesev. You see? He saw it was alive because the Pasuk says, where's the Pasuk? The Pasuk can tell him. And tell him Kavav is where David Melech goes over the whole history over there. So it says, Yasu ego b'chorev vayishtachavu l'masecha. See? Vayamiru es kvodom b'savnis shor ochalesev. Now the plain shot in the pasuk doesn't mean ochalesev actually ate. Means ochalesev, like Rashi explains over there too. Rashi, Ibn Ezra says, they also. Ochalesev is derech b'zayin. Means that derech b'zayin. Yeah, it's grass. This is what they're changing. Exchange God for a cow that eats grass. I mean, that's the plain shot of us. But Rashi says that the that Shehoyah Baruch Chaim. Rashi, over here, Rashi and Talmud doesn't take it literally that it was alive. Here, Rashi says it was alive. Now, see? Take a look at what Rashi says further. V'rosh etzliach maise satan. Lohoya lo pelet chosum legamri. I don't believe that this Rashi is Pshutta Kamashmal. I don't believe that it means, Rashi means that actually he was alive. The thing was alive. It's a, made out of jewelry, made out of gold. It's not, something that's made out of gold doesn't really have a digestive system. So it's not alive. What it means is what Rashi says right next to it. He says like this. He says, Rosh etzliach maise satan. See? Rosh etzliach maise satan. It means he saw that the people were looking at it as a live thing already. See? That's why, in other words, he saw, that's why Rashi says, and he saw that he can't push them off anymore. Once he saw that already, once he saw the way they look at it like it's a live thing, as long as it was only, you see, the thing is, you have to understand that what the important idea is like this. That it starts off, the emotion for Avodah Zarah starts off with having something tangible. To some secure thing. When God is abstract, it leaves you very shaky. Insecure. What? Where? We have no idea about him. We don't know who he is. We have no idea about God. I mean, that's the essence of Yadis. We don't know anything about God. We only know his creation. We know Torah, his creation, but we don't know anything about it. So that's a very, makes a person very insecure. Now, the first step is to have something physical to, just as a reminder, something to relate to, grab onto. See? That's the first step. But then the next step, one step lower is where that thing actually takes on the thing itself. That is really the objective that the person wants. That's the real security the person wants. That there's the thing right in front of you. This thing has power. Now you're really safe. Because this is the thing. It's right here. It's alive. Right here. It's taking care of you. It's like going back to the situation of childhood where the child has a complete security of the parents. So he's looking for that. So if the thing is right there and he actually believes it's alive, he looks at it as being alive, then he feels totally secure. That's why it says, "Betavnis shor ochalesev." V'rosh etzliach maise satan. He said. So then that's it. When Aaron noticed the way they related to it, like as if they could see that something there in the thing itself. So then he said he can't push them off. Completely. He can't push them off completely. Then it says, what?
The low level of Avodah Zarah already?
There are different degrees of Avodah Zarah. There's different degrees of being subject to Avodah Zarah, and there's different degrees of Avodah Zarah itself.
Very related to like the Hamon.
That's it. He's very related to like the Hamon. That's, see, if it was a rational thing at least, rationalized Avodah Zarah, which means, alright, they want something to remind them. And then the emotions aren't going that quick. You see, you can hold them off for a day or two. I mean, it's not the. But once the thing is here, when the thing is here, you see, you have to understand that when a person goes through something like this, we don't have that experience, but you have to realize, I mean, Blessed Torah, we don't have that experience. You have to realize that when people go through an experience like that, it's a very exciting experience. Because, like to them, they really. Can you imagine a person's all his insecurities are gone? I mean, it's a certain excitement. Once that excitement starts already, you can't hold them off anymore. They're not going to listen to wait for another day. There's nothing to wait for. It's here already. It's an excitement of Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara says that the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah is gone. Gemara says, Vatl Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, Sanhedrin. So what does it mean? What it means is that it's since it once it was banned already, It's hard for us to imagine what it was like, what those emotions are like, because we don't experience such things, because we're protected from it by the Isser itself, by the fact that Torah asked it, and all these generations, I mean, that's it. So we don't know what an experience it is. But actually, it was a very, very exciting experience of Avodah Zarah. It wasn't just, you know, a very passive thing. You have to realize that. To understand, it was something which got there is hardly anything more powerful that gets a person's emotions than that. And if you take a look, if you ever just take a look at the primitive tribes, you'll see the way they go crazy. I mean, they're going crazy. There's a reason there. It's not just not just trying to make themselves excited. It's a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, we don't know what the Yetzirah is. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Yetzirah is gone because they got rid of Yetzirah because of the fact that the Torah was given and Allah was given. But the excitement of Avodah Zarah is very very high level of involvement. It's a different kind of certain kind of experience that modern man doesn't really know what it is. Even the Goyim, they have the representation, but they don't have this. This they don't have. This is already this even they were able to get from Yadis to knock out the most primitive stages.
The healers,
right. Yes, the healers. You're right. The healers is already. That's going back to the that emotion of the healers is definitely
black churches everywhere.
Yeah. It's definitely real. That's it. I mean, that you're getting pretty close right there. You're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
What, the healers? The healers?
No, not just the healers.
Yeah. He's a
white guy.
Armstrong.
No, he's a famous. One time I saw him when he was doing Vayomachag Lashem Mocha. All right. So it says Vayaron. So it says Vayidem Mizbeach. He built the Mizbeach with Chosom to push them off. That's what Rashi says, to push them off. I see. Aaron always tried to delay. That was his whole tactic over here. Try to delay them as much as he could. Now take a look at the next Rashi. V'lo hayom. I mean, of course, they would be wise to that. They wouldn't allow him to do it. But what it meant was like this, that he, you see, he was still a leader. He still had leadership quality. Of course, he was second to Moshe. So what he did was, he jumped in there, and he made the announcement that he's all for this, and that's why he set the date for the next day. Now, even though emotionally they would have preferred today, but there's another emotion that they have to the leader also is they're used to the leader, so he used the emotion of the leadership, you see, to postpone it by showing that he's for it and he's with them, and therefore this is what the leader said, so he's the chacham, so you have to go by him. So he announced it for tomorrow. I'm not going to say, oh no, I should be today. See, that's the way he did. That was his move. That's what chazal mean. That was his move. It's a subtle move. Okay, that they didn't really believe that on the contrary, that pasuk, the pasuk is where was it? Pasuk K. Hashem Mocha. Okay.
So, what were the people looking for at that point? Were they looking for something
For God. They're looking for God. They were looking for God, and the ego was merely a representation. So see, first of all, the fact that Aaron said Chag L'Hashem.
We should have went further than that.
I understand that, but you have to. See, I'm trying to explain something to you. I'm trying to explain to you that the whole idea that Chazal is showing over here is that this emotion is subject to variation of degree. Okay, it slips up and back. It's not a fixed thing over here. That's the whole idea. You have to understand how human psychology works. So what it means is that Aaron slipped and back. They weren't denying God. They weren't denying God, even in the fact that they started to see in the eagle something already, you know what I mean? But it still wasn't a denial of God. It's they both coexist, there's no problem. So Aaron tried to slip him back into the right track, and he tried to postpone it until the next day. Alright? So you have to understand the psychology of the thing. You can't be just logical here. You never understand this, because it's not a logical thing. It's not a logical phenomenon. That's Zeh Pshuta. Chag L'Hashem Mocha, that's Zeh Pshuta. Rashi says. Now he says like this. He says... Yeah, I understand, so. Right there. I know, so. Medrash Opa Vayikra. Vayikra Rabba. Dvarim Harbe Ra Aaron. Aaron saw many things. It says, Ra Chur ben Achoso Shoyam Ochicham Vargu. He saw Chur, his nephew. that he was that he was criticizing them, and they killed him. V'zehu vayivim mizbech lefanov. Vayivim mizavuach lefanov. Means he understood. Vayivim means he understood. He understood from seeing the body of Hor. All right. Now v'od roa v'omar mutav sheyitle biyasirachon v'lo b'hem. It's better that the blame should be placed on me and not on them. V'od roa v'omar imein bonim esam esbeach ze mevi tzror v'ze mevi even v'nitzas malachta nasri b'vasachas mitoch shani bono oso mesatzel b'malachti ben kach moshe bo. He said that if they do it, they're going to really start moving on it. So that if I do it, I can do it in a lazy way, slow way, and it'll...
A lot of time for Moshe.
A lot of time for Moshe, yeah.
So isn't that the same as before?
Yeah, so what does it mean? It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. On the one hand, it says that Rashi says, V'lo yo lo pelet chosm l'gamri. He couldn't push them off completely. On the other hand, he was still trying to push him off. And what did he see? It says he saw three things. One was that Chor got killed. Second thing was that he says better they should blame me. And the third thing was a practical thing, be misatzel in the binyan. Be misatzel in the binyan. What are these three things? I mean, it says raw dvarm habe. Usually if you have an extra lima the pasuk, so it's one thing to learn out of pasuk. You can't say you learn many things out of it.
First of all, what does
yeah.
he learn from Korban being killed?
Yeah,
that's what we have to put together.
Secondly,
and why should the Sirachim be? Why is it better to blame? What's going to do with it? Yes, I should be blamed. I should be blamed.
Yeah, maybe a big tzaddik. Go to all the affairs that you can't see a cheeseburger, I'll eat it before you. I'm a big tzaddik.
You see, the problem, of course, in the pasuk is how did Aaron take such an active role? That's the problem. Vayar Aaron vayivin mizbeach lafona vayikra vayom achal hashem macha. I mean, how could he take an active role in such a thing? That's the big problem. So that's what Chazal say, that he had a plan. He had a plan there. Now, what was the plan? The plan was like this. What was it based on? I mean, it wasn't just a plan, but it was based. I don't mean a plan. I mean, he had insight. He had insight. That's why I said, Vayivin Mizbeach Lefanav, Vayivin Mizavuch Lefanav. He understood something. What did he understand? You see, when they killed Chur, it showed the level of the, how far it progressed. But it's a qualitative level. It's not just how much. How much he saw already before. By the, when it says, the money, and then he saw the money showed the need. The money showed the need, how quickly they responded. And then also, when it appeared to them as a live thing, that was already second level already. But this killing Chor was a third level. Killing Chor was what was the third level in killing Chor? Killing Chor was already identification. See, that was identification already. Because why did he was mochicham, and they killed him? Because this already became their god, you see, and they had to defend him.
But there's no more representation. You still have representation.
Wait. The last stage is identification with the God himself. That's identification. Up till now. No. What it means is that they identify with this object. Becomes like them. So therefore, if somebody should come along and criticize the object, they take it as a personal thing and they have to destroy the guy. They have to destroy him. Also, you see, that's the final stage, really. That's the final stage. That's the final stage.
Did they still recognize Hashem or not?
I'm telling you all. What? You have to understand something. I mean, like I told you before, there's all degrees. I mean, recognize Hashem. Even if it is over, the voters are recognize Hashem. Mila yirocha melech ha-gayim. That's what the pasuk says. Ki l'cha yasa. Why? Because the idea that there's an ultimate cause is an idea that even the of the voters are have an idea like that. But it's a causality of something which is a part of man's nature. I mean, he knows there's some cause for the existence. But he's far removed from having any concept of what type of a being that he has crazy notions about it. You understand what I mean? He has crazy notions about it. There's only one thing that he has that is some source, but that's completely distorted. You see. So So the pasuk says, so that's what it means. It means he saw already that two things actually it shows. It shows once, first of all, there's no rationality whatsoever with regard to this. This is mochicham. Giving him mochicham means he's presenting rational arguments. So there's no listening to rational arguments, not only that, but they had to destroy him. They had to destroy him. They had to destroy him because there was a total identification. Now what was the second thing? Next thing was, it says, mutav sheit labia sirachem v'lo bahem. Mutav sheit labia sirachem v'lo bahem. See, that means something else. There are meant like this. He meant, the question is, should he get involved or not? So think of it like this. As a leader, he felt that it would be worse if they would break away from him and do it on their own. If they'd break away from him and do it on their own, he felt they'll never be able to get back. Because then they're breaking their relationship with the leader. See, they're breaking the relationship with the leader. And they could never relate back to him again. What?
Even Moshe Rabbeinu came back?
Yeah, they'll never be able to, right. Because they would have, in other words, it was never, they had gone, they will have realized that they will have strayed so far that they could never face the reality anymore. This way, at least they could feel that, look, we weren't completely, off. I mean, after all, Aaron was there. I mean, there had to be, in other words, he felt that these people are far gone. But the only thing, now we have to look for the future. What's going to happen in the future? Now, if you're going to let them go, break away from me, and they're going to go by themselves, so he felt that if that would happen, that then they have nothing. Then they're going on their own, then Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, it's all over. Gone. So they could never really face up to the situation again. But if he felt that if they had him, so at least they could blame him for part of it. But they will not have felt that they were totally that they went so far away that it's impossible to come back. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't they dissipate some of the guilt?
Well, the point is right. That's right. The point is that too much guilt he felt in this situation will destroy them.
They have to rebel against leadership.
Right? That's right. Because then they have to rebel against the leadership. They have nobody. They're on their own. And then they'll never be able to come back anymore. But in this way, at least, they can feel that they'll say, look, Aramis let us through. Look, we're wrong, but let's face it, we had some type of mitigating circumstance. It was, so he said, let them blame me better. So this way, at least, they could come back. But if they go away completely without the leadership of Aaron, and they only have themselves to blame, so then they're going to, they'll never be able to be devastated. It'll be too far away to make a return, because there's no bridge. At least there's a bridge. He felt he was like a bridge. He's a bridge. So therefore, now they'll come back. See? But the bridge is still there. But the moment he would break away, there's no more bridge. Now they went away. Now Moshe Rabbeinu comes back tomorrow. The economy is too great. They're going to be destroyed. So this way, they'll be able to at least approach Moshe, and then they'll have to do tshuva. Okay, so later they'll have to recognize how bad their chet was not to do tshuva. But meantime, they're not going to be devastated by the initial blow. That was his idea. That was the second point. Yes?
But
he brought any olos on in his bech or anything. He didn't do the avodah zarah. See? So that's what he felt. That's what he thought. Third thing, yes? And that's why it says three things. The first thing he saw was that there's no way that he could rationalize the matter of it. That's because Chor got killed. That's the first thing. So now, what should I do now? So the only thing he could do was, he felt, to at least he should be related to it. So this way he doesn't destroy the bridge. And secondly, the next thing is that it should be under his control. Let the construction be under his control. At least under his control, he can control the situation a certain amount. So that's what he felt. Two things he felt. He felt that he'd be better off, that they shouldn't lose him completely. They should still be able to relate to him and be able to face themselves after the chait. And then also that it's best it should be under his control. And not under his control is going to be worse. That's what he did. That's the way, that was his rationale. That's the way he reasoned it out. It's an interesting thing. Okay?
The second idea, isn't there a danger of affecting Shem HaLevi?
The affecting Shevet Levi.
Yeah, I mean, like,
the psukim later seemed to indicate that he definitely had good intentions. Even from the psukim themselves, you could see that. But the blame is there too. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, it says, "Vayem Moshe Lahan, me'asa l'chohom azeh, ki yeveso olof chato gedolo. Vayem Aaron, al yichraf adoni, ati yadat asam ki verohu. Vayem Ruli, aselono olohim, sheyocho fanin, kzeh Moshe shalom, asam ledana mohayelo. Vamalem," he went through all the story, he explained to him step by step, "Vamalem l'mizo, his parokal yidnuli." See, Vashlicheh, Vaish, Vayetz Egel Azeh. Then it says, "Vayam Moshe Som Kifaru, Kifaru Aaron." There's the blame. See? Kifaru Aaron, Lashimto Bekaman. Yeah. There you see, Kifaru Aaron, the Pasuk is blaming him. See? Then it says in the end again, it says, "Vayigo Fashem Esom," Pasuk later. It says, Pasuk says, Asher Osa Aaron. Pasuk blames him for it. So Pasuk doesn't have to mention it again. Asher Osa Aaron, etc. He made it. Why is Asher Osa Aaron? Blames him for it.
An interesting thing.
Yeah, they made Asher. Well, that's why the Pasuk is very nice. Pasuk says, "Vayigo Hashem Asam Al Asher Osu Asahegel." They're the ones that really made it, because they were the ones that wanted it. It wasn't Aaron that wanted it. Asher Osu Aaron means that he also was involved in the wrong way. He also they were the ones that really were the ones behind it. But he was involved. He shouldn't have been involved in making the eagle.
But according to Moshe, what were his options?
That's involved in the building. That there's no compromise where the others are. That's the mistake. That's the mistake. The mistake he made was that he would never have done it if he would have realized in the beginning how quickly this thing's going to develop, and actually he'd never have done it if he'd know what's going to happen. Actually, you see, when they started to bring this vachon, that he wouldn't have done. Then already that's too far gone. Then he wouldn't worry about the bridge and the whole thing. All these cheshbonos that he made was only hoping that it wouldn't get any further, any worse. See, hoping that it wouldn't get any worse. But if the hoping Moshe is going to come, it's going to be. It's just that they're in the beginning stages of the Avodah Zarah. But if he would know that Vayashkimim Mimachros, what happened the next day, then he wouldn't have done it. See. That he didn't realize. See, all these tactics were only under the assumption that they wouldn't have progressed that far. They would not have progressed that far. Because once they progress that far and he's involved, then already he sanctions it. Then already it means that he sanctioned it. You see, if they wouldn't have, if Aaron's calculations were right, he did the right thing. He had it under control. He still, whatever it was wrong, but he sort of protected them. He kept the relationship going between him and them. Then it would have been fine. He kept the relationship going. But once it reached the level of real Avodah Zarah, then there's nothing to save anymore. There's nothing to save. There's nobody to save anymore. That's it. No, there's nothing to be concerned about. You don't have to worry about saving them. You don't have to worry about allowing their bridge back. Once they reach that level where they're totally deteriorated, they're not worth anything. There's nothing. That's it. Then all you did was you did harm because you sanctioned it. You were involved. You sanctioned it. So the mistake that Aaron made was one thing. The mistake that Aaron made was that he didn't realize that there's no compromise with that emotion of Avodah Zarah. There's no compromise. Can't compromise. Once you give into it, some degree, it's going to go totally. It's not going to be satisfied. See, it's not going to be satisfied until it reaches the total fulfillment. And that was his mistake, really. That was his mistake. But that's what he said actually. See, he says, "Vayetze Egel Azeh." That's what he said. "Vayetze Egel Azeh." "Vayetze Egel Azeh" means just happened by itself. It took off. It took off. He couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Because that's what it means. That's what it means. He couldn't believe it because he didn't realize how powerful those emotions were.
So was it,
and that was his mistake. That was his error.
So was
it, that
was his error. Calculated?
Yeah.
Every chedus sure is because of a some type of emotional miscalculation. Emotional cause, I mean, emotional thing, of course. But the mistake wasn't, I'm telling you what the mistake was. That was the mistake. That was at that point clear. The bridge back would only be good if they don't totally deteriorate. And we were speaking before about the bridge. The bridge back is good if you don't totally deteriorate. If there's total deterioration, there's no way back.
What?
We're killed. Killed. But the only way that Moshe brought them back was through through that cataclysmic event of had a whole system over there. Later, that was a civil war. That's the only way. And even the ones that weren't killed, but they saw what happened to the ones that were killed. And Vayashkes b'nei Yisrael, Vayizah b'nei Amayim, that was the only way to bring them back. There was no other way. Aaron didn't have any plans like that, otherwise they're worthless.
These all things that happened later, Aaron?
Bridge, you never needed him anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu came in, he put a man against his brother and against his family, and had to kill each other out. And then the Vayizah b'nei Amayim, that was the only way. There was no need for a bridge anymore. No bridges. That's it. Went too far. Totally destroyed.
Rashi there said
just 3,000. How many? So they was right. So all the other ones, all the other Egel died. It's more than 3,000. What? Tzor was 3,000, and the ones that did it by now, they asked them, were Mitzvah Shemayim. Then it's Vayashkes B'nei Yisrael. Where's that? Vayashkes B'nei Yisrael. Then they died over there too, no?
Well,
died. The other ones are hopeless. All the Yovdei Vodazor died. You see, Rashi is the ones that without Edom, they had Mitzvah Shemayim. Yigav Hashem Asam. All the Yovdei Vodazor died. There's no way that the person who deteriorated to that level is not worth saving anymore.
Doesn't that just leave Shevet Levi?
What?
No,
because the other ones, the Vayes will love Kol Sheva Levi.
There should be no more Erev Rav.
You have to study further the Parsha. What?
There should be no more Erev Rav afterwards then.
Yeah. Oh, mine didn't change already.
Oh,
it means it becomes repressed already. Like, that's it. The Halacha sets up a system, it becomes repressed, and that's it. See that? I mean, we affected the rest of the world too. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Goyim. Why do you think the Goyim became Christians? Because they couldn't become Jews, and they saw that the primitive idolatry was already ridiculous at that time. At that time, they were looking for another religion.
They got pretty primitive themselves.
But it's not as primitive as it was before. It's not pagan. Not total paganism. It's modified paganism, but it's not total paganism. It's just, what? The point is, I mean, they don't... They're regulation. The question, of course, is... you have to understand. You don't find... I mean, I don't remember, but you have to check this out. Do you find that Aaron was Nenish because of that? Doesn't seem like it was Nenish. I don't remember anything like that. I mean, I can't say, you know... I'm a bucky in all the midrashim. I don't know. I mean, if he wasn't Nenash, then it could be that it was an honest intellectual mistake. It's possible.
It was Chatoa Gadola.
No. You caused them to bring a Chatoa Gadola.
You don't yourself.
You don't get punished for an honest intellectual mistake.
He recognized
the
course
of the emotion. He thought he'd be able to push it.
Right. Didn't recognize it. But the reason why the Torah blames him is it was wrong. The Torah blames because it says Asher Aram means the act was wrong. It was a wrong act. So the Torah has to point out that that's the idea that you can't have any compromise with others.
Wrong act.
Yeah,
it
wasn't Nanish because as far as perfection, right. Wasn't Nanish perfection. But that's what it is. There is no compromise with others. That emotion. Interesting thing, huh? Pray Hashem that you will die rather than do this action. See? But how, I don't understand how it would work with somebody else.
No, if you would stop someone else from doing it, maybe
not give it Hashem anymore. You're showing, you're demonstrating that you will give your life rather than do this action. That's Kiddush Hashem.
It's
no Kiddush
Hashem. It's not personal.
You should do a Avodah Zarah, and he wants to do it anyways. What's the Kiddush Hashem? Now he's not giving your life away for nothing. Because the man would do it anyways. And you're giving your life to prevent him from doing the action. That's not the same thing. You're just preventing an action of Avodah Zarah, but you're not...
Let's say a guy comes
up. You know, even though like the Ramban looks like more, because like he looks more sophisticated than the Rashi, you know. But no, he's a fantastic period. But Rashi, you can't take what you have to really. Rashi, like you have to look into Rashi more. The Ramban is more open, so you can see the Ramban's greatness from his writings, you know. But Rashi, you have to look into more to see what is how he chose to write Midrashim and everything to just set up the main ideas behind the Pesukim. That's them job. That's a good job. It's really all. Every medrash at his disposal. Okay. You know, the right one. Pick out the right one. Just to serve it.